Dave Finkel, welcome to KABU.
Good morning.
Dave reads and writes a lot on the Middle East. He's also the editor of the Journal Against the Current. We're going to be talking about the Iran deal, Trump's withdrawal, and the potential consequences, including, of course, a Middle East war. First, though, it's necessary to talk about the Middle East today and the history of Iran. So tell us, Dave, the Nakba is now going on and intensifying. Tell us about it.
Well, I think we have to look at this morning's news in particular. As you may already know, if folks haven't heard, they're just waking up. Several dozen people have been killed today by Israeli fire at the Gaza border fence. In fact, this culminates, you know, several weeks of protests and Israeli killings. The death toll and the casualty count are mounting, but in terms of a historical parallel, what's happening at the Gaza fence today are, of course, on the same day that the U.S. Embassy is opening in Jerusalem to great fanfare and celebration from evangelical fundamentalists and so forth. What's happening at the Gaza fence today really reminds me very much of the South African Sharpeville massacre of 1959. The number of people killed, as I recall, something like 69 or something. The number of injured is going to be very reminiscent. And the Sharpeville massacre was really a defining moment in the long, long struggle to bring down South African apartheid. And I think that today's, in the last several weeks, massacre at the Gaza fence will also historically have that sense of a turning point.
If the people of the world and the nations organize, and that's, of course, the people of the world force the nations to organize. That's part of the struggle of the boycott and sanctions and divestment campaign. Dave, let's talk about now Iran. Give us a little bit of a sense of Iran in Middle East history. The struggle for Iran is a key determinant of how the Middle East is now today. Tell us about it, and especially the destruction of the social democratic government in Iran in 1953 and 54.
Right. Well, this is something that most Americans have forgotten or never learned. But the people of Iran remember it, of course. So in 1953, an elected government, Prime Minister Mossadegh, was overthrown in a CIA-sponsored coup. The book to read on that subject, by the way, is by the scholar Ervand Abrahamian, and it's called The Coup. It's concise, but it's really very, very good. That brought the Shah of Iran back to power, created a very brutal regime with American support that lasted for 25 years until it was overthrown in the 1979 revolution that produced what is today's Islamic Republic. Brutally repressive, widely hated by much of the Iranian population, but due to a number of factors, including the American invasion of Iraq, which toppled Saddam Hussein's regime, Iran then emerged in a vacuum as the main regional power. So it's against that backdrop that we really have to look at Trump backing out of the Iran deal.
One of the ways that the CIA thought that they were going to stabilize Iran after the coup and destruction of the left and the exiling or the killing of left democratic forces, they thought that they would give more power to the Islamists, that is, really encourage and subsidize the Ayatollahs of the country. And they would, of course, all of the discontent by ordinary people, it would go into sort of religious fantasies of ascending to heaven. It seems to me, to a large extent, the Islamic fundamentalism now in the Middle East is the product of that favoritism in Saudi Arabia and other countries by the U.S. and the support for Islamic fundamentalism.
Well, yes, that's a commonplace story. That's how basically Afghanistan was destroyed in the 1980s. Look, when people hear about horrible fundamentalist terrorist attacks that took place, like, for example, it's happened over this past weekend in Indonesia, it goes on in Pakistan, Afghanistan, these are places where that kind of fundamentalist Islamist, I don't know what to call it, extremism, was not indigenous to those places. It was spread by Saudi money, Saudi influence. Their brand of Islam was exported and mutated into even more extreme forms, and this has been encouraged by the United States and other imperial powers for decades. It's not a new story.
Dave, let's now talk about Trump's withdrawal from the Iran deal.
Okay, well, there is a statement that people might want to look up online. This is self-promotion. www.solidarity-us.org talks about Trump's withdrawal. I want to say two things about that very importantly. One of the things I learned from one of the great Israeli human rights campaigners and scholars, the late Dr. Israel Shahak, he made a very important point on a number of occasions, which is that when states act in their narrow interests, the interests of their ruling classes, that's dangerous. What's even more dangerous is when they act out of ideological motivation. The United States' withdrawal from the nuclear deal with Iran, JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which was a multilateral treaty, in many respects, this withdrawal is ideologically motivated, not only by Trump, but by the extremist war hawks and ideologues that now surround him in his administration. This makes it even more dangerous and sets the Middle East on a potential course to an extremely horrific war. Now, in the immediate aftermath, I'll say, as you've heard, Israel has been bombing Iranian targets in Syria. Iran has been lobbing a few missiles into the Israeli Golan Heights area. Israel and Iran are acting in a very dangerous way, but they're acting according to the logic of their state interests. That's dangerous. But it's not as dangerous as the United States acting, which is the main, of course, which is the largest militarized power in the world. The United States acting out of ideological interest, that's even more dangerous. I don't believe that war between Israel and Iran is likely to break out in the short run. However, the Israeli leadership, for its part, has been trying to maneuver the United States into a military confrontation with Iran for many years. Iran, for its part, has been spreading its influence through much of the Middle East, but is severely overextended, although it's a regional power now. It is overextended, and it has political and economic problems at home, with a collapsing currency, with agriculture devastated by climate change, which is a whole story throughout the Middle East you could do a whole program on. So those are some of the elements. Just some of the elements that make the situation so dangerous.
Let's get into what can be done to force these ideologues in the United States who have dreams of conquering the Middle East with their brand of democracy. It's quite crazed, but they talk to one another and they have high priests telling them how wonderful it would be. You pointed out it was ideological interest. It's not economic interest, actually. My sense is that what Trump is doing now, not just the oil barons, although they could make a lot of money if the price of oil really starts spiking. And certainly it's not the people who want to sell things in the Middle East and to Iran. But it's the ideologues who are doing it. And Wall Street actually has to be holding its breath because Trump is using as a cudgel the whole world financial system that the U.S. controls. Tell us that story briefly.
Well, sure. The United States will impose new unilateral sanctions on Iran, and the way to enforce those is by forcing particularly European companies to halt their investments in Iran under the threat of secondary U.S. sanctions, that is, that corporations that invest in Iran will be cut off from the international banking system that the United States dominates. They'll be cut off from doing business with U.S. banks.
And now, they'll be cut off from selling anything in the United States, like Volkswagen,
yeah,
for example.
Now, whether the European Union, which is very fragile and has its own extreme difficulties, whether the European Union is capable of erecting protections for companies that want to do business with Iran under the terms of the nuclear deal with Iran to keep the nuclear deal intact, whether they are able to create a counter system, whether they are able to protect their companies from being cut out of the banking system by the United States and so on, that's all up in the air. It's very, very early to predict whether that will happen.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. If the Europeans bow to the United States on this, it's basically allowing Trump to define their foreign policy.
Yes, and they're very upset about it.
Very upset about it. On the other hand, they may try and put off the time of decision. They may think that the coming election is going to defang Trump and change things some. That's not inconceivable. Dave, what about a peace movement here and around the world?
Well, two things are necessary, okay? We need the revival of a peace movement in the United States, and of course we need a global peace movement. The peace movement in the United States today is not as strong as we would like it to be. I don't believe there's big war sentiment in the population, but the anti-war movement is not as strong as it should be. Among other things, it's divided because some of the political forces, for reasons that are too complicated to go into here, are sympathetic to the Syrian regime, and it's kind of a mess. And many people are looking to the Democrats to somehow get rid of Donald Trump, which is not going to happen. Okay, so we need the revival of an anti-war movement. And another thing that's desperately needed as regards the Palestine-Israel situation, we need a very strong, popularly based BDS, Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, particularly in regards to the massacre that's going on right now. I know that there is an activist community in Portland that is very active around BDS, and by all means, you should have them on your show talking about what's going on locally, because I know there's important stuff there.
We do. Dave Finkel, thanks a lot for talking to us today. Keep up the good work, Dave.
Thank you.